Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Just want us to know that it was a difficult sermon to prepare this morning with a heavy heart, you know, and you know what I'm trying to say, right? But as I pray and look upon the life of our dear brother, Pastor Danny, I saw the goodness of God upon him. And since the beginning of this year, I mean all along, but especially beginning of this year, I really see God's grace has been with him all this while. Because a person like him, physically, I mean, his health is not doing well, yet he is able to continue to smile, continue to serve, and continue to give. It's amazing. And to be able to do that, it has to be the grace of God upon him. You know, he didn't end his life with regrets. I'm sure he could have done more, but maybe God say, it's enough. It's time for you to come home. And so as I look at his journey, as much as in my heart, I'm going to miss my dear brother. But on the other hand, you know, I'm so encouraged by his life, his love for God and for people. And I believe that his passing on is not a coincidence or an accident. I think it is God's timing. God's timing to say to him, my dear son, you have done a good job and it's time that you would come home with me. There was very, you know, in fact, just a few weeks ago, we did many things to encourage him, and the staff also did a video, you know, sort of like a, you know, to tell him how much we love him. And all these things, I realized that now as I look back, it's not really by chance. I think the Lord knows the timing and he prepared him well. All right, so I know we see the goodness of God. So probably it's an encouragement for some of us this morning as well. All right, if you wonder, are you alone? As what Pastor Eunice said earlier, all right, you are not alone. God is with you. Even in the midst of your struggles, God is with you. Amen? Amen. Let's give a Lord a clap offering for that, shall we? Yeah? And also my friends, those who are watching online, good morning again. And I believe time has been difficult for many of us. With this pandemic, with this endemic, has made our life very unpredictable and uncertain. Many of our faith are challenged. Our relationship with one another is tested. Many are feeling more and more frustrated and anxious more than before. I could sense that because I meet people, I talk to people. I could sense the anxieties within them. But I want to encourage us to not be disheartened by what you see. Do not be disheartened by what you see. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it's very important that this morning I need to remind you and those who are watching online to remember who calls the shot. Who is the one who is taking charge? Not the human, not even the COVID, but who? Jesus. Yes, Jesus, he is the one who calls the shot. I thought I want to begin this morning to remind us that Jesus, he calls the shot and he is still ahead of us. You know, David said, some will trust in chariots and some in horses, but he will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We may not know what the future holds, someone said, but we trust the one who holds our future. Amen. Amen. All right. So turn to your neighbor and say, we trust the one who holds our future. And Jesus, right? Jesus is the one who holds our future. You know, the word submission is an essential quality for Christians, but a difficult one to cultivate. Many Christians find hard to accept this word submission, especially verses like wife, submit to husband, submit to authority, submit to the government. Many of us find hard to accept this word. It's hard to cultivate. And it is difficult because it works against our human willful nature. I remember in my younger day, my mom always said this to me in Hokkien, you are very tiki. Right? I mean, those who know dialect, you know what I'm talking about. You know, basically my mom said to me in my younger day, you are very rebellious. I ask you to do A, you go and do B. I ask you to do B, you go and do A. I think some of us who are parents, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, sometimes we ask our children to do A, they purposely go and do B. So my mom always said, you are very, very tiki, right? And submission is scary for many people. And I can understand that because we live in the world where people constantly break our trust. I met people when I mentioned the word submission, or when they hear the word submission, they immediately shut down and reject whatever I say. And I understand why, because of hurts they had experienced from their past. And I've seen how leaders use forces to make people work for them. If you watch Black Panther, you're a movie lover like me, you watch Black Panther, this movie, there's a scene at the Warriors 4 where T'Challa, the Black Panther, all right, pinned down his opponent, all right, by his knee, on his neck, and said to him, you don't make me kill. But this is not the kind of submission God desires from us. He does not force us. He invites us. Well, maybe this morning, and those who are watching online, you are tired of your work, tired of your relationship, or you're burning out, you're experiencing burning out, and you've been going through a hard time during this period of time. If you're impacted by what happened to Pastor Danny, Jesus invites you. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites you. He doesn't force you. He invites you, come to me, my dear children, and I will give you rest. And it's hard to submit, especially when His will is not our will. We do not know why. We have, as I explained earlier, we know God has planned all these things for him, but why God had to take Pastor Danny away at this point? Now, we may not know why. Many of us will wish that he can stay a bit longer. And it's hard to understand and to submit. But if you know God's goodness, and you put your trust in him and believe that he's trustworthy, you realize that it will become more natural and easy for us to submit to his will. But the issue of submission is not just in our present day. In fact, Christians in the earlier churches faced the same challenge. Around AD 60-something, the Apostle Peter, wrote a letter to his believer concerning a false accusation against the Christians. So what is that accusation? The Emperor Nero then, probably one of the most wicked emperors during that time, accused the Christian as rebel and the culprit for the fire he set himself in the city, and then he used it as a reason to persecute Christians, to feed the lions and kill many innocent people for entertainment. It was under such situation that Peter wrote his letter to his congregation. And this is what he said in 1 Peter. He said to his congregation, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slave. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. Imagine the Christian suffering under the emperor for something they have not done, for something, you know, is falsely accused for. You can imagine the frustration the believers are going through. But what was Peter's instructions to the Christians. He said, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. Wow, if you hear things like that, it's hard to swallow. So what is Peter trying to tell them? What is Peter trying to tell us today? Does that mean he's saying to us, obey blindly whatever the government asks us to do? Now, common sense tells us it should not be. Or does that mean when Pharaoh commanded the midwife to kill any Hebrew boys who were born, and we should not defend and fight for the innocent's life? If you have a problem, talk to Pastor Andrew. Does that mean when the authorities asked Peter and John, the disciple of Jesus, to quit preaching the gospel, promoting Jesus, so they must obey? Obviously, they did not. So what is Peter saying? Peter was more concerned that his people would get distracted and fight the wrong battle. In fact, he told them, don't have any argument with them. Don't give them an opportunity to prove they are right, that God is evil and his people are rebellious. Instead, he said to them, because of your love in Jesus, prove your innocence and silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you by being kind to them and not resentful. In other words, Peter is saying to the congregation, be a good witness to your Christian faith. I know we are all very tired and frustrated with all the changes. I'm one of them, all right? And I heard so much complaints and grumble about what is going on, what is our government doing, what is our authorities doing. And I just did that with my wife yesterday morning over the breakfast. We just complain, why? You know, can't they do better? You know, why are they doing that? You know, it doesn't make sense. I think many of us are going through that kind of frustration. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, right? And even this thing in us, you know, why can't they do better? But as we complain, as we grumble, right, let us also be thankful. We want to be thankful as at least our authority is not like Emperor Nero, who put Christians to death, right? So at least we should be thankful that our government, they are doing their best. And I thought it's important to let us remind ourselves that they are not our real enemy. Our real enemy are the, as what Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, the evil spiritual forces behind us, not the flesh and blood. They are people just like us that needs prayer and wisdom from God. But if you feel you are not treated fairly today, if you feel that it has been unfair to you, and as long as it is not against the law, it doesn't mean you can't speak up. It doesn't mean you shouldn't justify your thoughts. It doesn't mean you must agree everything they do to us or they say to us. But we need to remember, we belong to a higher authority. We belong to a higher authority, and we are being set free not to do evil, but to serve the will of God. And what is God's will? It's that we do everything in the love of Christ. And so therefore, our attitude towards every authority is important, because we don't want to let our actions cause others to think that God is evil and unkind. And most importantly, let's don't get distracted. More importantly, seize this opportunity that God has given to us. That for such a time like this, that seize this opportunity to prove and be a good witness for Jesus. One of Pastor's Danny Castle leaders shared with me 2 nights ago. He shared with me about how Pastor Danny gave his all every time to help his member. And so one of the testimony, it just happened about a few months ago, that one night Pastor Danny received a call from his member about the member's mom, who was in severe condition and was hospitalized. And upon receive the call, it was at night, about 9 o'clock, upon receive the call, Pastor Danny quickly went to the hospital trying to minister to his member and his member's mom, because his member's mom was not a Christian yet. So he was there, you know, throughout, I heard, that till the next morning, almost 3 a.m., just to be there to minister to his member and the member's mom. And I heard that he reached home at 4 o'clock, and by the time was so tired, and he fell sick the next day, despite of his physical condition, health condition then. But it did not stop him of reaching out to those who are in it. And so Pastor Danny, in the midst of difficulties, sees that as an opportunity to be a good witness for Jesus. When is the best time for Christian to shine? When is the best time for Christian to be a good witness? In good time, nobody really sees the light of Christ. But it's only when in the darkness, the light of Christ becomes brighter. So seize this opportunity to be the good witness of Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of us read the story of the McPherson doctor lately, and all will definitely heard about his story, who died from COVID. Dr. Raymond Yuen, on his paper, as I read, I was so inspired and encouraged by his love for Jesus, that the community, believer and non-believer, he was remembered as a kind, caring, generous doctor towards God's people, and also towards his patient. Although it was reported that the first doctor to die of COVID, and some were more concerned whether had he had his second vaccination. I want us to know that he did not die because of COVID. He died because he gave his life to be Jesus' witnesses. He passed on and went home with the Lord because he gave his life to be a good witness to his Christian faith. And God elevated him to a place of honor, and because of his obedience, and now the whole Singapore get to know God's story. We praise God for men like him. And I believe this is a call for you and me this morning, that in the midst of pandemic, in the midst of trial, is an opportunity for us to shine for him. And God is calling you and me to shine for him during such during this period of time, during our pandemic. Submissions is something also the Apostle Paul thinks every Christian can and should do. For he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of love for Jesus. And if you have the Bible, if you can, you know, you can go to Ephesians chapter 5. And in chapter 5 and chapter 6, it gives us three illustrations from family relationship in his day. Wives and husbands, children and fathers, slaves and masters. And why slave is included there? Because in his day, the slaves stay with the family. Now here come the most popular questions. Whenever I do my marriage prep, they will ask me, especially, all right, the wives to be, all right, Pastor, why wife must submit to husband? That is a $1 million question. Every marriage prep, they will ask me this question. To be honest, all right, as a man, as a husband today, I think I can speak on behalf of all the husband here, all right? Okay, now, I won't want to have a wife who will come to me and say, yes, sir, no opinion, you know, and whatever I ask is just yes, sir, no. I'm not going to, you know, appreciate, all right, a wife who you know, submissive everywhere, all right. But I felt loved and empowered when my wife comes to me and say, you know, dear, you look much handsome than the man over the other side.
you look much greater than the man over there. I said, I think this is a kind of fire, all right, that I need in my life. And I believe that men don't really appreciate, you know, where we have women just submissive blindly, all right? It is, you know, we want women who love and respect the husband. But you might want to ask, why only one verse for wives? And compared to husbands, there are at least 5 or 6 verses talking about husband. And does that mean husband do not need to submit to their wife? Does that mean husband does not need to submit? If not, then what is Paul's message for us today? So first of all, I want to assure us, and I can assure us, is that Paul is not talking about equality or social status. Because he already said there in his letter to Galatians, male or female, you are equal in Christ. So the issue is the culture in Paul's day. Now, if you notice that there are 2 groups of people in this chapter, and in Paul's illustrations, all right, the wives, the children, and slaves. And then on the other side, you have the husband, father, and masters. Why? Because in Paul's days, wives, children, and slaves, they had lesser power and authority compared to husband, father, and master. In fact, I read somewhere where it says that wives, children, and slaves have no legal rights because they were seen as the one that's more inferior to the other. And for example, I can give us is from the gospel. If you remember when the children rushed to meet Jesus, what did the disciple do? They stopped the children from coming near to Jesus. They stopped them, and in fact, they rebuked the children to stay away from Jesus. Only the adults is so-called like qualified to draw near to Jesus. And if you remember also, there was one teaching where Jesus taught the disciple about servanthood. And he said to the disciple, the rulers in the world lord it over people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. So it's actually common in those days to see how the one with more power lord it over the one with lesser power. And the lesser power obey the higher authority because they are the weaker one. So Paul is using the wife's obedience to the husband to illustrate the point that this is how Christians should submit to Christ. Because it's common for wives to submit to husband, and Paul used that as an example to illustrate the point. This is how we should submit to Christ as how the wife submit to the husband. And we need to obey our Lord as how the wives are doing now, submissively. And Paul says that. Why? Because in the kingdom of God, obedience is essential to Christian faith. And so Paul is saying, they are doing the right thing, keep doing. But now, as Christians, they no longer do it out of fear for the husband, but out of love for Jesus, willingly obey unto the Lord. So does that mean husbands do not need to submit? Paul says, no. Look at the example of Jesus Christ. That Christ, although he's the head of the church, he submitted to God and gave his life for the church. So Paul asked the husband, look at Christ. Even though he's the head of the church, he gave his life to serve the church. And so therefore, husband ought to have the same attitude as Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this principle of submitting to one another for Christ does not just apply to husband and wives, but in our relationship within the family. So we ought to submit to one another in his love, in his kindness, and in humility. Why? Because Paul believes the key factor to build a good relationship within the family is submission to one another in love. The month of September and to November, I understand, is a stressful period for many, many of us. Tension is going up, anxiety is going up, and because happened that during this period of time is where all the exams is coming up, PSLE is over already, now we have O level, we have A levels. So, you know, I can sense not just the children are feeling the stress, parents are also feeling the stress, teachers also feeling the stress. You can feel that during this period of time, the tension is going up, and it does not help now with the latest announcement that the government decided to extend the stabilization period. So it doesn't help. So it's tension after tension, stress after stress. And I can really feel many of us are going through that today. You can feel that anxiety, and you may not say it, but you can feel it, and you can feel that tension. And under such circumstances, under such pressure, it is easy to strain our relationship with one another. It is easy that we become enemies and fight. It is easy under such pressure we quarrel and argue with one another. It is easy to lose control and fall into temptation. It is easy during this period of time that we submit to anger, we submit to hatred, we submit to bitterness that easily separate our relationship with one another instead of submitting to love and forgiveness that build unity in the family. So those of us who are going through some kind of relationship tensions today, whether you're husband and wife or your children, you know, I want to encourage us, let us use love and forgiveness to win one another for Jesus. Let us use God's love and God's forgiveness to win over one another for Jesus. Lately, I met an old friend, and I thought they had a good marriage until she told me how her husband betrayed her and had been unfaithful many times. So I have permission to share her testimony because she said I can share, but just don't mention the name. And she told me that when she knew about what her husband has done to her, she wanted a divorce desperately. But every time she come to God in prayer, God reminded her through Psalms 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." In her heart, divorce is the way to go. But she chose to submit to God in prayer. And then when her daughter, P1, then knew about the situation, her daughter, P1, told her that at school, she met a friend who did not have a father. So they were in the same situation. So the both girls, P1, said to the mom, they went to the pond that near the school and they prayed. They prayed that dad, God, let my dad come home. My friend shared with me, she was so devastated, she wanted to end her life and move on. But when she read Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight." So she chose to submit to God in a struggle. And she said to me, God changed her heart. And she decided to forgive her husband. He said, it's impossible, but God changed her heart. And she said it was really, really tough because it is not just one time. She had to forgive her husband again and again. But each time when she struggled, the Lord said to her, "Surrender not to her situation and husband, but to Him." So each time she struggled, the Lord reminds her, "Surrender not to the situation. Surrender not to your husband. Surrender to Him." And today, her daughter's prayer is answered. Her daddy came home and she said to me, "My husband is a changed man serving God fervently." They still have struggle, but he is a changed man. And she said this to me, "The husband I married no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. Submitting to my husband has a new meaning now. It is not him whom I'm submitting to, but Jesus in him." Amen. So some of us, if you're going through relationship struggles, submit to Jesus. Let Jesus change your heart. As we humble ourselves before the presence of God, resist our anger, resist our bitterness, resist our hatred, resist our selfishness, and submit to God in His kindness, in His goodness, in His forgiveness. As we submit to God in that area, we are building our house on the rock. Storm will come. Rain will come. They will threaten us, but they will not tear us down. Therefore, in James chapter 4, verse 7, James says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So when we read this, the devil, my question to us this morning, then, who is the devil? Who is this devil that James is talking about? Now, the first person we can think of is probably the devil is the Satan. Yes, I think, all right, maybe talking about Satan. Some of us might think the devil could mean the pandemic or the virus or the circumstances we are going through. But the devil, in James' context, can also mean the devil within us, because the context of this verse is from verse 1. If you read James chapter 4 and verse 1, this is what James said. "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desire at war within you?" So in other words, James is saying the first battle starts from within. The first battle starts from within. He is our first enemy to overcome. But how did Jesus overcome his temptation, resist the devil, and submit to God? How did Jesus overcome when he was under stress that he submit to God? Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 42. And this is what Luke said to us when Jesus was under the pressure. This is what he did in Luke chapter 2, verse 39. "Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, 'Pray that you will not give in to temptation.' He walked away about a stone throw and knelt down and prayed. And then he said, 'Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, and not mine.'" So if you read the chapter, you have time, you will understand why Jesus prayed. Because he knew the religious leaders were going to kill him. He knew one of the disciples is going to betray him. He knew that one of them that he loves, Peter, is going to deny him. In fact, he knew all his disciples is probably going to desert him. He's going to be alone to face the mission, to carry the cross, and to accomplish the mission. So imagine that you are in Jesus' shoes. Yeah, of course, he's God. We are him. But imagine that this is what is happening in your head. And this is what Jesus has to carry. And he's more concerned about his disciples' readiness. If the disciples saw him on the cross and died on the cross, would they be ready or would they fall away? Would they remain faithful and continue to trust him and see him after his resurrection, or they run away and give in to temptation? He thinks about his mom. He thinks about his friends. There are so many burden, so much burden on his heart that he was going through that night. And how did it overcome the temptations and the burden? He could have used his power to do what he wants and not God's will and my will. He could have done that. But how did overcome the pressures and burden? The secret to our victory in your walk today is this. He walked to the mountain and prayed alone. That is the secret of Jesus' success in the midst of tribulation. He went alone and prayed. Endemic had scattered God's people like never before. You look at our church today, and you can, obviously, you know what I'm talking about. You look at all the empty seats that we had today. It's no longer like how we worship in the past. Everybody coming together, side by side, cheering one another on. But we are not seeing this, and we do not know how long it will last. You know, and some of us who are Sunday Christians, in the earliest day, even you're not, you know, active, you know, on Monday to Friday, but at least over the weekend, you can come to church, you can be stirred, you can be encouraged, and you can connect with God, at least on Sunday. But now, most of us has to stay home for weekend service. Most of us has to watch online. Many wants to come and cannot come. And as we can see, that time has changed because of pandemic. No one is looking out for us. And we have no one to accountable to. Now, if there is an opportunity for the devil to prowl around and look for any Christian he can devour, I can assure you, now is the time. Now is the time the devil will work actively looking for people to devour and to tear them down. When you are alone, it's the best time for the devil to test our faith and to put us down. You know, so my friends, today we need more than just social responsibility. We also need spiritual responsibility. We need to cultivate spiritual discipline more than before, so that we will not give the devil any opportunity to put any one of us down. How to be sober-minded and be alert? Follow Jesus' example. Submit to God in prayer. Submit to one another in love. And this is how we have to face our battle today. Is to submit to God in prayer and to submit to one another in love. No one knows how long is this endemic will take. It can be no end. This could be a new norm for our weekend worship. Have you ever thought about that? This could be our new norm. You know, I was praying and seeking the Lord, and the Lord put this in my heart to encourage us. He said to me that many people are, you know, having their hope that this will only last for a while. But the Lord put in my heart that this is not going to be a while. It's going to take longer, you know, some more. And so many people have their hope that this thing will be over soon. But the Lord put in my heart, say to the people, it is not. It will take a bit longer. But the Lord assured us, God assured us that even in the midst it may take longer, remember, I am with you and I will see you through. And so I'm praying for all of you, it has been my heart and burden, that pray for the congregation, and we ought to pray for one another. And it is my burden in my heart that when finally this endemic ends one day, I wonder how many of us remain faithful to the Lord. How many of us still remain fervently serving the Lord like Pastor Danny? That is my burden. And that is my prayer that I've been praying for all of us. And I think we need to pray for one another. That when this endemic over, that it will not be something that will tear us apart or tear us down. But rather in our prayer, that we pray that through endemic, we become stronger for the Lord. And I believe this is God's desire. I have the privilege to meet Pastor Danny before he
went home with the Lord just a week ago. I've been meeting up since the beginning of this year because of his health. And so regularly, I will text him. We'll go out for makan and just to keep update, all right, ministry, and then how is it going. And I have a privilege to meet up with him last week because I just felt that he's not doing very well, and I want to make sure that he's ready. All right, is any things that he needs to have a closure? I want to be, you know, to see how can I give him more support. So we talk a lot of things, all right, besides the ministry, the cluster, on fire ministry that he's very passionate about. In our conversation, he concluded this, his last word to me. He said, "Pastor, I've been feeling frustrated and uncomfortable, not because of my health." He said, I know about my health, and where he is today, you know, is by the grace of God, he can, you know, stay till now. But he said to me, my frustration is not my health. My frustration is I could not do much for the Lord. I wanted to give the Lord more, but I could not anymore. But if it is God's will, I'm ready to go home." Danny wanted to give his best to the Lord. Even at his last stage of his life, his concern is not about his health. His concern is, how much more can I give to the Lord? But he says, if it is God's will for him to go home, he will submit. And what really keep him sustain his faith to where he is? He submit to God in prayer every time when he struggle, and the Lord give him strength to sustain and to help him to finish his race well. So he left a legacy for us of what it means to fight a good fight, of what it means to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I don't want us to be disheartened by what is going on right now. Rather, get disheartened and get discouraged by what we see. I want to encourage you, submit to God in prayer. God has not abandoned us. And I can assure you, as you submit to God in prayer, you will see the victory in the midst of the endemic. Even in the darkest moment you are in this morning, as you submit to God in prayer, you will see the light of Christ in the midst of your hopelessness. And if today you submit to Him and obey His will, His perfect love, in His perfect love, we can cast out all fears. So make your hearts right with God today. Make time each day to meet the King in your heart. The victory, or our victory, is in the one who is greater than the one who is in the world. But more importantly, as we submit to God in prayer, let us also submit to one another in love. In your family, your church, submit to one another in love. You know, Pastor Danny was at home alone when he was unconscious. So imagine, anyway, you know, he stayed at home alone, all right? Imagine no one was aware. Imagine no one called him. He could have just passed on in his house alone for a few days. Nobody knew what's going on. But thank God he has a good friend. They had a friend that called him every night to ensure that he's okay. And somehow that night when the friend called him, he didn't pick up the phone. And so the friend got, you know, anxious or felt something wasn't right. So the friend went down to his house and managed to get a key. And then that's how he discovered Pastor Danny was lying on the floor unconsciously, breathing difficultly. And so quickly he called the ambulance and sent him to hospital. And because of his friend, he could pass on peacefully at the hospital. So with the help of God and with friend, that's how God take care of Pastor Danny. I'm trying to say, we cannot fight this endemic alone. We can't fight our struggle alone. We need one another. I felt that God has given us today the challenge for a reason, so that His people can work together, so that we will know that how important that the people of God must work together. And we work together by looking out for one another, checking on one another. If you see your friends are not doing well in their faith, call them up and stir them on. And if you need help, if you need someone to help you, don't allow pride to take place. Allow people to come in and help. In such a time like this, we need each other more than before. And to look out for one another so that our faith in the Lord remains standing till we see Jesus again. And together, in the submission to God, in our submission to one another in love, I can assure us, we will overcome the endemic in Jesus' name. Amen. May I invite us to stand? You can't sing. You can't sing today. But I believe you can sing in your heart. As we go to respond to these songs, I would like us before the presence of God and say to the Lord, Lord, time may not be easy, maybe more difficult, more challenges, but I will remain faithful. I'll remain faithful. I will submit to you in prayer. When time is tough, I will come to you in prayer. And also pray that Lord will help us as a church, as a family, that we'll continue to look out for one another, watch out for one another, help one another. If you know someone today, Lord, reveal to me that person that I can help. I want to help that person. But if you need help today, ask God to send someone to help you. Together, as we submit to God and submit to one another, the Lord said to us, together, we will overcome. Not just for our present situation, but we will overcome for the glory of His name. As the world sees the church, how we stand together in His name and with one another, Jesus says, the world will know that we are different. We are the true disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
These words in your heart, can you speak it? We look to you, Lord.
By faith, we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove His faithfulness, who walk by by
give a Lord a clap offering, right? Amen. Amen. Praise you, God. And also my friends, my brothers and sisters, Jesus will return for us. Jesus will return for us. While we wait for His return, let's continue to submit to Him faithfully. Submit to one another in love. Let's continue to love one another. Today, if you have any issue in your family, in your relationship, forgive one another. Don't submit to anger. Don't submit to hatred. Submit to His love. Submit to His forgiveness. Submit to His kindness. Let God build His family in your life. Right? So, Christ will return for us. Submit to God. Submit to one another in love. Amen. Let me say a prayer for us. Father, I commit, Lord, my brothers and sisters into your hand. We thank you that, God, you are with us. That even in the midst, Lord, of pandemic, darkness, Lord, it's difficult, but Lord, we are not afraid because our trust is not in the situation. Our trust is in the one who is holding our future. Our Lord, our Jesus, who is in authority over everything. Lord, this is where we put our trust in you. Lord, we will wait for the day that you keep to your that you will return for us as what you have promised to us. While we wait for the day, Lord, for your returns. Lord, and Holy Spirit, empower us each day to remain faithful, submit to you, Lord, in prayer, trusting you. And then, Lord, teach us how to love one another as how you have loved us. In our family, in our relationship with one another. Thank you, O God. So we pray, Father, for your peace and your joy and your love, your faith be upon each one of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. Right. See you next week.